Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
What is going on, coexisting fans, Fightful Overbook fans, and Fightful fans? It is Thursday, July 24th, and we are here on a, I don't know the right way to say this, but it has been a weird day. I think weird is probably the best. But today, Hulk Hogan passed away. It's, you know, the thing is, it's so hard to explain, like I got into wrestling because of Hulk Hogan, like, you know, but then.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And then my love for Hulk Hogan disappeared because of the things that he said and did, but I will always appreciate what he did for this business. And it's just one of those things where it's just hard to believe, you know? It's just hard to believe. Like, there's certain people in your life that you just never, like, see this, like, celebrity-wise, that you just don't really see happening. And he was one of those, like, guys. It's weird to say, but yeah, we'll be talking about Hulk Hogan. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Like, okay, so here I was thinking that we were gonna talk about Ozzy's death on the show. And like, okay, like I did. So Ozzy died on Tuesday. So on Tuesday, it was my name day. And because this is I think it's a Orthodox Christian thing, or it's straight out Balkan thing. There's certain days of the year, whereas Saint Nicholas, Saint George, or whatever. So people named Nicholas and George celebrate their name. So on Tuesday was Mary Magdalene Day, and I had a name day on Tuesday. So it's that is not how I want to remember my name day, like, at all, because I was working the night shift on Tuesday. And because of our big music festival that is starting tomorrow, which is the reason why we are on Thursday this week. So because of the big music festival, people already started flooding our city. And they were already here anyway, because we had 2 days of Dream Theater concerts. And the meet and greet with the fans was in my bar. And you will not believe that there were people from Peru.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people from Peru. And like, one of the co-founders of the Dream Theater fan club, he was this big dude with those big ass muscles in his hands. He was really, you know. And then because of, there was a, you know, whole quiz during the meet and greet and everything. They were doing it online. And then right before they left for the concert, which is held 5 minutes away from my bar, they were going to announce the winners of the quiz. And like he was like, and but before that, we want to celebrate an anniversary, an 80-year, an 80 anniversary. And I'm like, because I was really busy, you know, pouring beer for all the people in the bar. And I'm like, I'm looking at the stage and I'm like, wow, this dude is 80 years old. I didn't see it coming. No, apparently this was his 80th Dream Theater concert that he was attending.
Wow.
80th. And I'm like, fucking wow, man. 80? I haven't even been to 80 concerts as a whole. And he's been to 80 Dream Theater concerts. And it was like baffling to me, man. Fucking baffling. I mean, I don't know what kind of fan that makes me or anything, but like that was pretty something. So again, people were already flooding my city. And like I had a lot of work on Tuesday, and a close friend comes to the bar and he's looking at me and I'm like, hi. And I give him a bonbon because of my name day. And he's like, thank you. Apparently you haven't heard that Ozzy Osbourne died. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I'm sorry to be the one to give you the news. And I'm like, I'm so bummed out. And then I saw how everyone in the bar realized, because they were looking at their phones and like their expressions, you can tell that they realize it. And then all of a sudden, everyone started drinking Jack and Coke, because this was Ozzy Osbourne's signature drink. And Jack Daniels, and like it finished. Like we ran out of Jack Daniels in my bar. And I played Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath music almost all night long. And of course, I decided to finish the night, you know, with the song that closed down the bar was Mama, I'm Coming Home. And of course, everyone started crying. I started crying too. No more tears before that, you know, because I wanted to make it awful for everyone, you know. And I was like, I'm not, you know, an Ozzy Osbourne fan. I'm not, but like the dude is solely responsible for the existence of the bands that I'm listening to. And like not long before, you know, the farewell tour, the farewell concert that they have in England for Ozzy and Black Sabbath, we live streamed that in my bar. And it was so fucking emotional. Mm-hmm. I saw a grown ass man, my boss, was fucking bawling his eyes out. And
yeah, I get it.
Me too, also, because this is, you know, you're witnessing history. And like the moment he died, I was like, he knew that he was, of course he knew that he was dying, but like he knew that was it. And he just wanted to say goodbye, you know, to his fan base and everything. So I thought that we were going to be talking about Ozzy Osbourne. And now this happens today because, like, Rob texted me. He was like, the usual time for today, right? 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the usual chatter between me and Rob on the day of a podcast. He was like, I'm going to, you know, send you a link right after I get home and everything. And then he did send me a link, and he was like, you know, the thumbnail was for me because it had Hangman and everything, and I'm on such a Hangman hype ever since he won it at All In. And I was like, yes, thank you. you're so sweet. And then I, you know, started doing things around the apartment, and he was like, yes, thank you. This was, oh my God, he's so hot. I and then Rob texted me. He was like, well, Hulk Hogan just passed away. And that was how I found out. Because again, on my days off, this is as far away from me as it can. And like, Jesus, we are going to talk about, we will be talking about Hulk Hogan as we start the show. But like, let me just get out my shtick just so we can, you know, start talking about actual wrestling and not music. We are going to finish with me telling you what bands I'm about to see for the next 3 days. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for being here. Please leave a like on the video. It is the most awesome and free way in which you can support me and Rob. Also, if you'd like to support us, you know, more directly, you can also you can always send a super chat at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, a dollar sign. Any amount will get your question read on the air. It helps support the show a lot, and Rob and I appreciate it a ton. If you're watching on any other platform, or you would like us to keep a little bit more of the proceeds, you can send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Also, support original creators and subscribe to Fightful Select, the easiest $5.99 that you're ever going to spend on wrestling. Please subscribe to this very channel, youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, and do not forget to subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful, the main Fightful channel. A lot of interviews. People have been praising Sean's last interview with Speedball Mike Bailey. I will get to that interview, but people are calling it their favorite Fightful interview, so I cannot wait to see that or That's hear good. That.
It's good. It's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I have total faith in Sean and Mike Bailey's.
I don't at all. I have zero. He's a jaywalker. So.
Oh, yeah, sure. But like, as is everyone on this earth, apparently. And yeah. You guys like to make fun of people like me who just obey the rules. Man, fuck off. So let's... Thank you so much. Rob and I will be reminding you guys to leave a like on the video and send us your super chats. Also, after the video is done, please leave a comment below. It makes us matter to the fucking algorithm for YouTube because it fucking hates us so much. Because Fightful and Fightful Overbooked have a lot of shows. And the algorithm hates us a ton.
Well, so,
Everyone, please share your thoughts, your memories, for Ozzy or Hulk Hogan or whatever.
Malcolm Jamal Warner of... who was Theo Huxtable in The Cosby Show. He was, growing up, he was one of the coolest guys, like, on TV, like, for people, like, around my age. Like, he was just awesome. You just liked him. Malcolm Jamal Warner passed away, too. So, I think Maria said it's been a weird week for people who grew up in the 80s, or even 90s, for that matter. So, it's just been a strange week, but so I just wanted to mention him because he was cool. Like he was pretty cool, but so I wanted to bring him up too.
Yes, absolutely. The music festival I'm about to attend will have a lot of Ozzy Osbourne tributes. I'm incredibly sure, and we're not gonna cry at all.
Who's the biggest band at the festival this year? Is it Dream Theater or
so? Oh no, so okay. God, no.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure, I couldn't remember.
It's a 3-day festival, and the three headlining bands are Sepultura, Machine Head, and Smashing Pumpkins. So apart from that, Rise of the North Star will be playing, and I will be missing them because I'm gonna be working and fucking bums me out. Static X. I'm also gonna miss Static X because I'll be working. Fear Factory, Skunk Anansi, While She Sleeps, Extreme, for whatever reason they're there.
Nickelback.
Never. Dope are gonna be playing.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a real Smashing Pumpkins. I have, I cannot wait because I was really impressed with them on the Aussie Black Sabbath farewell.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna read some. Like, if you any super chats would be appreciated, but I am gonna read a lot of comments because of the impact Hulk Hogan had on wrestling, and I know a lot of people are watching today. that normally you wouldn't watch because they just don't have time or they just don't know about us. But Hulk Hogan had a impact on them. But I'm going to read some comments that we have. Maria says, rest in peace to Hulk Hogan. Wrestling isn't what it is today without him. Fernando says, like him or not, Hulk Hogan meant a lot to wrestling. All the money talent make today is because of Hulk Hogan. Maria added that she's a wrestling fan because of Hulk Hogan. Chris RD44 says, I'm a wrestling fan because of Hulk Hogan. Scott George says Ozzy gutted him. He had the pleasure of seeing him four times in the 80s and once in 2001, and saw one of his bat biting incidents in 1983. Wow.
Oh my God, Scott, I'm so happy that you got to see all that.
Friend D'Lo Diggs says this week was something.
It definitely was. JPJ in the chat. Hey, hello, sweetie.
Corey says he was supposed to go to an Ozzy concert in 2020, but he got sick and so did the rest of the world.
Yeah, thank you.
Steve-O says, I've been listening to Ozzy for a couple of days. Let's see here. Chuck Mangione passed away today too. That name sounds very familiar, and I'm trying to remember why. But, oh, he's a musician. Oh, okay. Once I saw the face, I knew exactly who it was. He's a...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very, like, a jazz musician.
Yeah.
Wow, it's too bad. So, guys, in the chat, let us know, like, some of your... like Hulk Hogan memories, like some of the your matches that you liked or just some of the promos. I know obviously for a lot of people it's the body slam Hulk Hogan when he body slammed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3. For some it was the Mega Powers tag team. I remember that was a big deal when I was a kid because Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage were teaming up. Another big one was WrestleMania 7 that it was Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. And that, like, in school, like, you were either Team Hulk Hogan or you were Team Ultimate Warrior. It was a big deal then.
Team Macho Man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. But it was a big deal. Like, it depended, like friends became enemies became friends type thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
For a few days. It was just a lot of kids were Legion of Doom fans. I liked the Rockers, stuff like that. Yeah, only just weird things, you know, back in the day. One of the greatest moments in wrestling, I think, history was the WrestleMania 18, right? I can't remember if it was WrestleMania 18 or not, but somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. But Hulk Hogan and The Rock, I don't think that was 18. I think Rock and Hogan, or I think Rock and Austin were 18, but somebody will correct me. I used to be able to name every WrestleMania event like it was nothing. Now it's just bye-bye. I can't do it. Anyways, that standoff they had in Toronto, I mean,
oh yeah,
just goosebumps, man. Goosebumps watching that. It is 18. Cool. Okay, I was right. Then WrestleMania 19 must have been Hogan or Stone Cold, and or was that 7? Who cares? I'm done. Anyways,
Hogan, yeah. And The Rock.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say Stone Cold and The Rock at the Astrodome. I think was maybe 17. WrestleMania 17.
WrestleMania 17 was the unexpected heel turn for Stone Cold with
lining
him with Vince McMahon. It was 17.
Okay, then 18. Okay, I knew like I had him like backwards. I thought, but I got it right. Anyways, that was a big moment. And of course, the one that changed everything in pretty much made wrestling, the beginning that made wrestling like popular before like Stone Cold really got over, was Hogan joining and forming the NWO, the New World Order, with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. That was a big moment. I remember watching that on Scrambled, on the Scrambled pay-per-view channel. And basically, you couldn't see what was going on, but you could hear what was going on. And
oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, and you had Dusty, I think it was, I know Bobby the Brain Heenan was there, and he kind of, in my opinion, he kind of gave it away. He's like, why is he here? Like, type thing. What is he doing? And yeah, that was probably the biggest, like, most shocking moments for me wrestling wise, but that was because I was like a kid still. I was 16 or 15 or 16 when that happened. So it was just like one of those things I never thought would happen. I never imagined Hulk Hogan being a heel, but I absolutely loved it.
From that specific standpoint, it's still considered the most shocking and best heel turn in the business. People were talking about an eventual John Cena heel turn, which the heel turn itself was pretty good, but like nothing that happened after mattered whatsoever. Yeah. But the NWO is to this day something extremely valuable to, you know, the wrestling business and everything that happened afterwards.
Man, I mean, the impact the NWO had on pop culture, like in the day, you had Dennis Rodman of the Chicago Bulls, who was like other than Michael Jordan, like was at that. Well, okay, let me rephrase. He was very popular for a lot of different reasons, but he was so different than the norm in the NBA. But because he teamed up with the NWO, like that even got people going. And then, you know, like down the road, just people wearing NWO shirts. I had Kylie Jenner wore a NWO shirt on the model runway. Like, you know, she did that. They just had a big impact on wrestling, the NWO. And it took over in Japan, like New Japan. You had members there when they did a talent exchange, stuff like that, Scott Norton and the Great Muta. So it just had a huge impact, like all over the place. Bullet Club, you know, I mean, to be honest, is there a Bullet Club without the NWO?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, it had a huge impact. And I know a lot of people will always remember the impact that Hogan had on the business. His outside stuff is what sucks. Like, that sucks. But, you know, talking about the impact he had, I will always appreciate the impact he had on the business from creating it. The behind-the-scenes stuff, that's not going to work for me, brother. What he did to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 9, stuff like that. That's completely different for me. So I'm just, it's one of those things. I don't really know how else to explain it, you know?
So what I think Rob and I are, you know, practically doing right now is celebrating the effect that Hulk Hogan has had on the wrestling business as a whole, because I'm definitely not gonna sit here and pretend that Hulk Hogan wasn't the reason wrestling was so big in the 80s. He put wrestling on a map. He was in commercials, he was in reality televisions, he was on TV series and everything with, you know, stuff. And like, drink your vitamins or eat your vitamins. You know, everything. So Vince McMahon put all his eggs in the Hulk Hogan basket for a reason. Of course, we're not talking about, you know, Vince McMahon in this specific case. Hulk Hogan, Terry the Man. I really don't want to.
Yeah, that's okay.
Give him the time of day, because I said that I'm not gonna sit here pretend that he wasn't responsible for wrestling being whatever it was today. But I'm also not going to sit here and pretend that he was a good person. I'm not. Yeah. I understand everyone. I will never judge anyone for speaking their mind after, you know, someone passes away. Because if you just sit there and say awesome things about someone passed away, like while the rest of the time you were, you know, hating on the guy, then you're just, you know, two-faced a bit and everything. I understand all the horrible things that Hulk Hogan has done. I will never close my eyes to those things. The lies were incredibly amusing. Like they didn't hurt anyone, so I never have a problem with that as long as it hurts no one, because they were incredibly amusing and so fun. Like,
Hulk Hogan and Metallica, remember?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan and Metallica. That was my favorite thing, that he was the Metallica bass player.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, what were the other ones? I remember. Well,
there was the George Foreman grill. That was the most recent one that he kind of got caught with. Was he said that they originally went to him first and.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Or that he had 400 matches in a year.
Yeah.
Like, those are easily things that you can Google that they're not real. Of course, back in the day when Google wasn't a thing, you just hear something, and of course, that's the truth. So it had zero purpose of, you know, him continue doing that during the biggest era of internet and, you know, Google and Yahoo and everything. So again, that was incredibly amusing. But you know, all the racial slurs and weird behaviors and just refusing to put people over. I mean, it's just. And it's Bret Hart. Come on. Come on. So I'm just gonna focus on the person that put wrestling on the map for me. I'm just gonna start off with the fact that I was never a fan of Hulk Hogan. I wasn't watching when Hulk Hogan was on television. I had no way of watching WCW when he was there. I had no way of watching TNA. I didn't watch New Japan when he was there. But the NWO is, like you said, probably the only reason. Well, I'm not gonna say the only reason, but like probably the reason the Bullet Club is alive.
Yeah, I mean,
This type of stable that can have more than three members in it, you know, and a lot of people that go in and out, in and out, in and out, and, you know, with the click and everything. So without NWO, there's no Bullet Club for me specifically. Yeah. And the way that NWO is spelled, the font massively resembles Korn's font, and it's probably the same. I don't know. So there's your fingerprint there also. When we talk about matches, because I'm incredibly, like I've said, I'm the whitest of white chicks, and so based, it's of course gonna be Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. I'm sorry. It was probably my favorite legend versus star match. And it's at the same time my favorite, and I hate it because the crowd was booing The Rock, and I cannot stand for this. Because, again, I never liked Hulk Hogan, but I see everyone loving Hulk Hogan, and I cannot. And I'm like, why does everyone love this guy? Like, what is this? Who is this guy? You know, back when I was watching. And, of course, I knew why. I knew my wrestling history and everything. But it was just so baffling to me because, like, he continued I preferred NWO Hulk Hogan because I hated the red and yellow so much. I mean, those colors put together gives me a headache.
Yeah, anytime I see those colors together, I always think of Hulk Hogan. I know some people think McDonald's, but I always think Hogan when I see red and yellow. That's just the way it is. But
because we're wrestling fans and everything. Yeah. So I understand that, but I will always prefer because like he looked way more badass when he was NWO Hulk, because you know the black and white and you know the black beard with the dyed, you know, blonde beard. It's incredibly, because this is probably me not being American, but you know, the clean babyface thing that's always, you know, yay America, has always pissed me off. That's probably the reason why I hate Cody Rhodes right now.
Yeah. And, before we... Oh, go ahead.
And you know, because that's probably it. I'm just going to say, but like Hulk Hogan, if you don't need to watch wrestling to know who Hulk Hogan is. If you see you know, just a sketch of the beard and the hair, you immediately know who that person is, even if you don't watch wrestling. My parents knew who Hulk Hogan was even before I watched wrestling. So that was always something, you know, incredibly weird for me. Yeah. So no matter where you stand, this is again, I will never not think about all the racism, all the weird ass behavior and everything. I will never not think of that. But wrestling is here because of this person. He made it what it is, what it was in the 80s, in the 90s, and everything. This is why there was a big wrestling boom period at that time.
All right, I'm going to read the just what the Clearwater Police Department said this morning. Just before 10 a.m., Clearwater Police Department responded to a house in the 1000 block of El Dorado Avenue for a medical-related call. It was discovered at that time that Terry Bollea, also known as Hulk Hogan, was experiencing a serious medical-related issue. Personnel provided medical treatment at the time and transported Hogan to Morton Plant Hospital, where he died at 11:17 a.m. The Clearwater Police Department is conducting a medical investigation, which is standard in these type of cases. There are no signs of foul play or suspicious activity related to this call for service at this time. So that was the press release, or that's what they said in the press conference today. But yeah, let's move on to something more positive, in a way, if you like to laugh. LOL TNA.
Oh my TNA fucking has... God, man. What the hell was that? Okay, so lead us in. What?
Okay. So LOL TNA. Usually when TNA has eyes on them, they will...
They tend to do that.
They have a tendency... Yeah, they have the tendency to drop the ball pretty soon after. And in my opinion, that's what they did. The show was like pretty good to start off. And then we got Maggie and I got to see our guy, AJ Styles. That was cool. Even though Styles said he never wanted to come out to his song again, he was tired of it. Somebody either talked him into it or he didn't know they were going to play it.
He was going to be pretty stupid if he thought that they were going to play any other song.
No, I know. Come on. But yeah, I know. But they played a theme song and it was cool hearing the crowd just go along with it. And it's pretty cool that AJ Styles was at TNA's largest show they've ever had. I think that's pretty cool. Cause he was the first, AJ was the guy like first in TNA, you know, he was
TNA. He was Mr. TNA.
But I mean, that was the highlight for me of that show. There are plenty of lowlights, and Maggie's gonna go into those with you because she wants to go off, she said. So I'm gonna let her go off.
Yeah, so
Maggie, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. So here's the thing, guys. Just a reminder, please leave a like on the video, send us your super chats, because I am fucking gonna bomb this. So I woke up on Monday and I was preparing, you know, I was making my tea and, you know, my protein breakfast for after I'm done with my workout. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm being pretty harsh when it comes to TNA. I'm wondering why. I know why I stopped watching TNA, because, you know, it decided to TNA itself. And I was like, I'm going to sit down and watch Slammiversary. Otherwise, I was thinking of only watching AJ Styles' segment. But like, I'm going to sit down and watch Slammiversary. I'm going to sit down and watch Mike Santana win the TNA championship in front of his home crowd. And oh boy, that I just, what the hell was that? So if you take out the TNA and NXT context totally out of the picture, this was a pretty good show. But if you put it back in, it was, oh my God, what the fuck did I watch? So it's this weird ass booking, man. And initially Moose being crowned the X Division champion was in itself a train wreck. So, AJ Styles came back after this X Division match. So, of course, he came back to put over young talent. That is something that I'm always here for. Putting over young talent is what I want to see. Apart from SummerSlam, when I want AJ Styles to mop the floor with Dominic. I just want to be clear. So I, because like he said, let me just get this out. Let me just say what I came out to say, and then we're gonna talk about this while the crowd was chanting one more match, and then he didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
What happened? You were supposed to talk about it. What the fuck? And so, oh man, it all went downhill from there. I don't know when. I don't remember the match order, because I wanted to wash my brain with bleach after watching Slammiversary. For that sole reason. So JC Jane is fighting Masha Slamovich for the TNA Knockouts Championship and the Women's NXT Championship. Winner takes all. So JC Jane wins with the excruciating help of Fatal Influence, both Nyx and Henley. So this is basically the thing that happens every JC Jane match. JC Jane is an awesome wrestler. I adore JC Jane. I loved her even from the Toxic Attraction times. Both her and Gigi Dolin. Amazing. So JC Jane wins. So this was really weird for me, because like Kate said, she's Masha Slamovich. It was the anniversary of Slammiversary. How could she lose They'd go, what the hell was that? And like, Masha Slamovich terrifies me. Shout out to our friend Cassidy Haynes, who goes on road trips with Masha Slamovich all the time. You know, driving her to from show to show. That woman terrifies me. I have no idea how they managed to do that, but it definitely didn't help that JC Jane constantly says that people are calling her the most beatable champion in NXT history. While no one was calling her that, only she herself calls herself that. And this is pissing me off a little bit, because when you keep saying that, what does that mean for Masha Slamovich, who just lost to you? So, okay, that's fine. But like, Dark State are the only NXT talent that lost on this show.
And they were the only NXT talent that I thought would win on this show.
Exactly. I thought that they were the only team that was going to win on this show, because that, do you remember how they debuted? They debuted taking out Oba Femi.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, is this the next generation of the Shield? And of course it's not, because listen, they're not Dark State, they're Dork State, because they're a bunch of dorks, man. One of them is weird. It's weird because he only wears one of his sleeves. I don't know if he understands how shirts work. I don't understand what. And like, it's, they lost to the system. The system. The system. What the hell? And don't get me wrong, I'm always glad to see Matt Cardona win. And Fandango.
Fandango.
it's good. But like, and Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards was there also. Like, why didn't they ask the NXT talent, hey, ask Thea Hale why she took my song? Ask her. And then Dark State cost Hank and Tank and Sol Ruka and Zarya the match. And like, so we're never gonna talk about the fact that you guys are the only people from NXT that lost. And you know, this is just so weird, man. And then, so it was the main event. So this is in New York. This is Mike Santana's home turf. He had the whole rap entrance and everything, which is never good. You know, live performances during wrestling shows are never good. I'm sorry. I feel like Limp Bizkit are the only ones who were ever good performing live. Like, having in mind that TNA will always be TNA, and they will always have technical difficulties all the time, especially in backstage segments when they clearly, okay, 3-2, camera rolling, and they, oh my God, that was so lame, backstage segment. So Trick Williams retained the NXT championship versus Joe Hendry and Trick Williams. And the moment the three count was executed, and I was like, I remember why I stopped watching this show. All of a sudden I remember, because, you know, people usually say that Slammiversary is their biggest event, while I know that they're trying to tell us that Bound for Glory is their biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
Somehow people keep thinking it's Slammiversary because of reasons. Like, I don't know what these reasons are. When it was Impact, I kept thinking that Slammiversary was their biggest event. And then they said, no, it's Bound for Glory. And I'm like, okay, so I don't remember on which show was Joe Hendrick crowned TNA champion. Do you remember?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so if someone in the chat knows.
I can, I'll look it up, see if I can find it.
Okay, thank you. So people draw comparisons with Cody. And if you've been watching our show, you would know that that is the lamest comparison in the world, because I think Rob and I both agree that they should have done it on WrestleMania 39. It made no sense that Roman retained the championship. Did you say what?
Yeah, he won at Genesis.
Genesis. Okay, fucking Genesis, man. What the fuck? And so, yeah, I think a lot of people were advocating for Cody to have won the title at WrestleMania 39. And this was the case with Moxley in the AEW championship against Swerve. I understand that we got a huge Hangman moment out of this. I understand this. Believe me, I do. But this didn't mean that the weekly television was better because Moxley was champion. No. So after Roman retained WrestleMania 39, he was on like four times on television for the entire year, which was bad booking in itself. So what TNA did was like, and Rob and I said LOL TNA because they've done this before. They do this all the fucking time. All the time. And like, it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me once, shame on me. So like, why did I watch? Stop watching, or was it the other way around? I don't care.
No, you just fool me twice is what you should have said. That's why I laughed.
What did I say?
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me once, shame on me.
Fool me a thousand times, shame on me. That was what I was going to say.
Because, I got you. I knew what you meant.
Yes, thank you. Because like, of course I remember now why I stopped watching TNA, because of shit like this. So they had the huge opportunity to crown Mike Santana.
Eddie makes a good point. It's LOX, LOL NXT TNA.
NXT TNA. But like, it's the same old TNA. It's the same old TNA. They always do this to their top stars. And like, when I say top stars, I mean stars that, you know, the people want to, you know, cheer for. Sorry. So they didn't, they decided not to do that for whatever fucking reason. And the moment, because like the moment Marshall Slamovich was pinned, I was like, okay, so of course this means that Trick Williams is going to lose, because there's no way. There's no way. And when this happened, I was legitimately shocked. And I'm like, okay, fuck this shit. Not only that, but because this is probably the part of me that likes to feel pain. So I didn't. I couldn't wait to watch NXT this week because I wanted to see what the fuck was going to happen. And somehow, this, in recent memory, was the worst episode of NXT I ever watched. In recent memory. I'm sure that there were a lot of those, but because I wasn't looking forward to the episode, I just brushed it, you know, under the carpet. But this was... And this is pissing me off because NXT was my favorite wrestling show. Not that long ago. 5 years isn't long ago. Those are 5 years is just yesterday, seriously. And NXT was my favorite wrestling show ever. And now I'm wondering what the fuck I'm doing with my life. Every Wednesday I wake up with my morning tea and watch NXT. So because like the show started with Booker T calling Blake Monroe Monica.
Yeah.
So the so the person in me that has watched Friends 1,000 times, the moment he said Monica Monroe, and I, as I was pouring my tea, and I'm like, lift up my head shockingly, and in my head all I could think of was that annoying TV series finale when Ross was chasing Rachel to the airport, and he was calling Monica to see what the flight number was, but Monica, all that she was doing was putting the phone on the newborn babies just so Ross can hear how they're, you know, crying or laughing or whatever. And he was like, no, Monica, don't put it. Monica, Monica, Monica. And like, the moment Booker T called her Monica on television, I'm like, Monica, 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 Monica. What the fuck was that?
Well, it's, so, yeah, you heard why he said, like, he got confused because it was one of his wrestlers in Reality of Wrestling. Like, there's a wrestler named Monica.
I know
Monroe.
Monica Monroe is a legitimate wrestler. I understand that. But, like, but it's, why does it always happen to Booker T and Michael Cole previously? Candice Michelle, what the hell was that? And, like, why does it, because Kate made a really good point on the post show. Like, if it's one thing to make a mistake while you're calling action on commentary, but no, you're presenting the wrestling show the moment the show itself starts. You're the first thing that the people hear and or see as the wrestling show starts, and this was definitely not a good thing. So I'm not gonna rant about the ramp botch during Ricky Starks and Troy match, because that was not them. That was a clear miscommunication, like someone did something before they were supposed to and everything. So that's it. But the thing that pissed me off, man. So Ethan Page. I love you, sir. So Ethan Page took the best wrestling belt that WWE have on their brand, and he ruined it. You know, so he took the belt and he threw it out of the ring as if it was garbage. And he presented the new Canadian North American Championship with the strap being the Canadian flag. And of course, everyone's going to boo because it's Texas.
Tejas.
You know, the most American hillbilly stuff that you're ever going to... Fuck Texas, man. And...
You know, I was born in Texas, right?
Yeah, but you,
it's okay. It's still fine. It's still fine to say it because it's
you did the right thing and moved out of there.
Yeah, it's a crazy state.
Yeah. So he took the title and he, and I'm like, sir, this could have been done with side plates. No, the Canadian flag is side plates. Just do that. What the fuck is that? What, like, what was the problem with the strap before? I like, what is happening? What am I watching here? Like, it's like... So, because that wasn't bad enough. Trick Williams got chokeslammed by The Undertaker. And this was so awkward to watch. Because apparently the building in which NXT took place wasn't big enough to fit Undertaker's bike, so he had to walk to the ring, which was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, as the American Badass, you know. And you can see that it's hard for him to move around, which is absolutely fine after everything that he's done in the ring. I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, crapping on the guy. No, like, he has two hip replacement surgeries, and like, he's given his body to the wrestling entertainment business. So, yes. So this was really awkward because he just said a bunch of stuff that made no sense. Oh, you're different with the TNA championship. What do you mean different? The dude had zero faith from the NXT writer staff. He was given two NXT title runs which led to absolutely fucking nothing. They both killed his entire momentum, which he had when he was feuding with Carmelo Hayes, which, by the way, isn't doing that good on SmackDown either. So at this point, just put him in a tag team because that tag team needs help too. So Undertaker chokeslammed Trick Williams, and he sold it as if he has digested poison. And way to go burying the NXT title. Because what? Why am I? Oh man, this hurt my brain so much. And it's really hard not to make comparisons with the WCW purchase. Because this is exactly what they did to WCW talent when they bought the company. The instant burial of Booker T. I will not forget that. Yeah. So I know people are kind of speculating that TNA are just writing it out, and they're, you know, taking this opportunity to muster out a TV deal. Because people may not know who Mike Santana is. They might not know who Marsha Samovich is, Joe Hendry or whatever, but they do know who WWE are. And people are saying that this is probably why they're agreeing to absolutely everything that's happening, because they just want a TV deal. Yeah. While other people are speculating that WWE are simply just going to purchase TNA. And because I'm not a business person, I have no idea how this works. And I don't know if that is in fact the case. I just, because TNA, no one in TNA has anything to fight for right now. No one, because both their championships are gone. They're gone. And I don't understand. AJ Styles was just there. Why didn't he just say, hey, Trick?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Let me fight you for that championship and everything. So it's just this thing. Did this thing make you as mad as I am, or are you LOL TNAing this entire situation? Because I know this is LOL TNA, but like, I will not stand for it, because this is 2025, and it's like, when I think of the people that, you know, that made TNA this incredible thing, and like, what is happening with Sting and AJ and Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe? Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, I think Scott says it best here. Carlos Silva, who the CEO or president of TNA, I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it. Like, a lot of people say that he's doing this because they're trying to film it. They're trying to get a TV rights deal, which is fine, but don't you want to use your talent instead of WWE? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, you would have had a moment there. Like, if Santana wins that title, you created a moment there that will, You have footage right there. You have people that were going to be talking about it. But instead, they're talking negative about your company. Not NXT. There are people talking negative about NXT, but most of it, 95% of it, was all directed at TNA. I don't know how they saw this, but it's one of those things where maybe this was an agreement. I don't know. I have no idea what they had planned, but I know one thing. I would have never had both titles going to NXT. If anything, I thought JC Jane was going to lose. Masha would win, and then I thought there was a possibility if that happened, we could see Trick retain. But when Masha lost, I was like, okay, Trick's losing, because there's no way TNA is going to do this. And sure enough, they did. So, and a lot of people were disappointed. Like our friend Cresta, she went to the show and she was.
Oh, she just straight out left, man. When she saw the three count, she just took her bag and she left. And then she joined the post show with Joel and Steven. This is just one of the weirdest decisions for me, because there you go, a person like Mike Santana, who everyone adores, and you know, you're seeing the Puerto Rican flags in the entire arena, and everyone's on their feet, and then they just pulled the rug out of under his feet.
Yeah, hold my beer. Yeah,
it was just the weirdest decision. And never in my wildest dreams did I think that this was ever going to happen. Yes, Soupy, thank you. Soupy sent a super chat. He said, also Hardy's 3MTD match in October and a very possible Christian Edge tag reunion in September makes me feel like 2001 nostalgia. Yes, this was the other thing. So Bubba Ray Dudley comes out after the Hardy Boys got their tag team championships back from the Nemeths, with Jeff Hardy pulling down a, what do you call that ladder?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Is it an escape ladder? Well, what kind of
ladder? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, of course, Matt Hardy is holding the ladder, and then Jeff climbs the ladder too, because all the ladders are presumably broken from the bodies, you know, surrounding the ring. And that's cool. Okay, that's fine. I like that. But like, from now on, every time a ladder match is held, I'm just like, isn't there a ladder with a remote control that you can, you know, put down and everything? Yeah, so Bubba Ray Dudley comes out and he's like, hey, how about one more time we do the thing? And I'm like, there's no way you're serious, because Devon cannot be in the ring right now. So, but then he did. We didn't see Devon. Apparently, they're praying to God that he can do this. After, you know, all the medical conditions that the guy has been through, I do not think that this is a good idea whatsoever. Yes, Diva. I don't know how this goes. I seriously don't know how this goes. If he takes a bump, I will squeak. Just please get a table in the ring, and then just that's the only thing I want Devon to do. First of all, and second of all, I don't want that champion. I don't want that match.
I
never want veteran versus veteran match. Never. We all suffered from Undertaker versus Goldberg. All of us suffered from that. We don't want to see that anymore. You know, Goldberg versus Gunther was the best that it was going to be. Because when you're that age, you want someone to be holding the match together. Hardys are so much still good in the ring. I cannot stress this enough. But when you're they're that good in the ring because they're working with young talent and they can do what they do with that young talent. And when you're working with the Dudleys, one of which is Devon, seriously, sir, are you okay? And like this is a totally a different dynamic than what I would like to see again. Yeah. Because what I would want to see is for young talent to be put over. That is what the only thing I want to see, young talent being put over.
All right.
So I have zero interest in this match. I'm gonna watch it because, of course, I am. But like,
I get it. I completely understand where you're coming from. So here we go. A little Cooper Effect action.
Hi, guys. Let me tell you a story about a two-legged chihuahua that saves their owner's life by detecting his heart attack. So a two-legged chihuahua named Chem detected a potentially fatal heart attack before his owner even felt symptoms, saving his life in the process. So 63-year-old Andrew says Chem's unusual behavior, hugging his chest and whining, prompted life-saving medical attention. He made Andrew take the chest tightening feeling seriously, and his wife called for help. He had emergency surgery, during which his heart stopped beating twice but survived to make a steady recovery. He said that he was watching television when Champ came up to him. He hugged my chest right about where my heart is and made a whine I've never heard him utter before. Shortly after that, I started having chest pains. So Champ, who was born missing two legs, is one of six rescue chihuahuas that share their mobile home with him and his wife, Pamela. So he had a minor heart attack once before, which caused him to take symptoms like the chest pain more seriously. So moved by Champ's persistent whimpering, his wife dialed 911 for an ambulance, and they rushed about 30 miles to a hospital in Atlanta where doctors performed emergency surgery. The doctor showed me this giant thing blocking my heart right after the surgery, he said. He said in his career, he never seen anything like it. So kudos to Champ the Chihuahua for saving Andrew's life. And Rob and I will always be on the show saying how much we adore animals, probably way, way more than people. And this is one of the reasons why, because animal love, one of the purest loves in the world. Way to go, Rob. What the hell is that? I cannot hear you talking if you're talking whatsoever. I don't know if you're muted or not, or just, oh, you're having technical difficulties again. So you, thank you for showing us the picture of Andrew with Champ once again. Okay. Are you just going to show us all your helmets now, Robert? Also, seriously, you're still muted. Every time, you're just, I don't know, guys. I don't know what that first helmet was, but the second helmet with the Stormtrooper helmet, I know that Rob visits thrift stores a lot, and he's just sending me pictures of different helmets that he has. Somehow he bought them all. What was the first helmet?
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. Okay. Okay.
Got to be careful about wanting to see helmets on the internet, Maggie.
Do you want us to talk about that? Yeah. You know. Oh my God, Robert. I missed you so much.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, let's talk a little Dynamite before we head out. AEW Dynamite taking place last night in Chicago, Illinois. Another show, part of their residency. I really like where they're doing this show at. I can't remember the name of the place. I think it's like, I'm not going to say because I don't know. But I really like the atmosphere that they have going for it. But AEW Dynamite, pretty decent, I thought, last night. I mean, it was pretty quiet, too. Not much went on. My guy Bill Ospreay announced that he's going to be out with a herniated disc.
Did your heart stop for a minute? Because he was like, I have this, like, he had herniated disc that right into his spine and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, no. And he's like, but like, doctors are hopeful and I'm going to be back, you know, with Forbidden Door. And I'm like, fuck you, man. Why even bring it up if you're going to be back in a month? What the fuck was that, man? Just say that you're on vacation. You gave me a heart attack. And I'm like, oh my God, you're going to miss. Because like Jamie Hayter had the similar thing and she was out for 15 months, man.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to be back for Forbidden Door. And I'm like, oh, don't do this to me, man. Like, wrestlers this week, Wardlow posted that video that no one's making him breakfast. And
yeah. Crazy, huh?
This way of saying that you're single, sir.
Well.
Please.
And I then got nothing.
Goes ahead and does that, and I'm like, can wrestlers chill for a moment? Please give me some space. What the fuck? Yes, thankfully doctors are hopeful and they say that he will be back for Forbidden Door. He needs to fight Gabe Kidd. That's all I'm saying. I want to see him against Gabe Kidd. Please.
Yes, we want him against Gabe Kidd. I hope he's good enough to come back for that. But again, like we always say, his health is what matters the most, and I hope he's back in time for Forbidden Door. That's for sure.
In his home country. So, what did you think of all the Hangman, MJF, Moxley stuff?
Well, we got a rematch of Moxley and Hangman coming next week on AEW Dynamite with nobody allowed in the ring.
Ringside.
Everybody's banned from ringside. So, yeah, I like that. I think it's a good idea because it's just needed. I think it's the best way to go, too. So I like that. The MJF stuff's very interesting now because of what we saw with Bobby Lashley last night. I can totally see MJF trying to do his little cash in or whatever, and Bobby Lashley costing him. I can see that.
Because here's the thing. So, because apparently if you write three anonymous emails to the owner of the company, he grants you your wishes, because that's clearly what happened last week with Stokely Hathaway. He wrote three anonymous emails, and now Adam Copeland is allowed nowhere near FTR. Yeah. What happened was, because there's this whole tag team tournament, which only one match was announced, and other matches will be announced on Collision in other upcoming shows. So it was FTR versus Jetspeed. And after Stokely helped Dax pin Kevin Knight with his crutch, okay, that's fine. So Adam Copeland comes out and he said that he decided to do business with the Hurt Syndicate because they're in the business of hurting people. Because he cannot. He's not allowed to touch them. So Hurt Syndicate come out and kill FTR and Stokely. Copeland spears Stokely once again. And MJF has a problem with this because, of course, he will have a problem with this. He was like, oh, so now you're just buddies with Adam Copeland. Well, I had to jump through hoops to be in the Hurt Syndicate. And this is an amazing point. And I like that because ever since he joined the Hurt Syndicate, I cannot shake the feeling. Why is he there? Why is the Hurt Syndicate? Why are they okay with them being his lackeys? Because that is exactly what they are. Why are they okay with this? So all of a sudden, nothing happened previously. All of a sudden, they were like, Renee, can you excuse us for a moment? Which is something I really liked. You know, them being gentlemen about it and everything. And they asked Renee to leave and then they kill MJF. So Bobby Lashley, he said that he doesn't do his dirty work and he wants him out of the Hurt Syndicate. So both Shelton Benjamin and MVP just shake their hands and just leave the room. And then MJF goes out to the ring and he said, I don't need Bob's help to get my championship back. Because what he said that he confronted Hangman at the beginning of the show. And Hangman said that he's not going to be baited into giving him a championship opportunity. He either has to cash in or he needs to earn an opportunity at the championship, which is something I like. This is a good side of Hangman. So Mark Briscoe came out for his usual shenanigans with the pickle thing, kosher and everything. So they do their dance with, people will never respect you as much as they respect Jay and everything. And then what followed was the match between Mark Briscoe and Claudio, which Claudio lost. And I'm kind of pissed off. They sold it as the first time they were together in the ring since 2011. So I'm a Claudio Castagnoli girl, and I'm always pissed off when he's losing because I feel like he's kind of always losing. He did that in WWE. I don't want to see that here, too. Come on. So Moxley attacked Mark Briscoe afterwards. And Hangman came out. So this is why we adore Hangman so much. So Hangman was like, of course, I'm going to give you the match. Because when you say that I'm not fit to hold this championship, I believe you. I believe that you mean it. I believe that you believe it yourself. So I need to prove to the old John Moxley, the one that carried AEW, I need to prove him wrong. So because my memory sucks and Rob's memory sucks also, and Bryn's not here. I can, because they've done this dance a while now. And I don't know how many regular matches those two have had in their career. I don't know, between one another. Because they always had Texas death matches and hardcore matches and everything. They always had these. I don't know how many regular matches that they've had with one another, or if they even had any. They must have had one, I suppose. And I love the fact that AEW want to nip this in the bud, and just because next week is their last week in Chicago, correct?
I want to say so, but I think they probably signed up for six more. Who knows?
Yeah,
because they saw their shadow. They're probably for six more weeks. I'll look. Actually, I'm pulling up AEW's website here. They are in Chicago
next week for Dynamite and Collision, and then they're off Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, July 31st is their last show in Wednesday, or excuse me, their last show is AEW Collision on July 31st, and then they go to Cleveland for AEW Dynamite.
Yes, Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. So of course, because they have their residency there and they want to give you a reason in which you need to tune in, sell tickets and everything, because Hangman and Moxley is a huge match. And they sold it as a regular one-on-one wrestling match with no one allowed. A straight-up wrestling match, which is what I'm fucking here for. I never had problem with blood. I'm a woman. I see blood every month. So I never had a problem with that. I don't have a problem with blood in wrestling matches. That's not my thing. But like, what I will always prefer is a regular wrestling match. I love wrestling moves. Like, of course, I'm going to be fascinated by death matches and street fights and everything. Last man standing matches, for me, I'm sorry, but they're boring. But, like, a regular one-on-one wrestling match is something that I will always be here for. So, even when it comes to those two, because it's so fascinating to see them wrestle each other in a regular match, this is going to be something I'm looking forward to on next week's Dynamite. So, yes, apparently that's a wonderful way to move tickets, to make people watch after the thing that they already saw. They know what they're going to be seeing, because they've seen those two create magic in the ring before. So this isn't something new. And I love that they aren't stretching this out until Forbidden Door, because there's zero reason for this to be at Forbidden Door. Forbidden Door, All Out, or whatever. So I don't know if there's going to be a Blood and Guts match, because the downfall of the Death Riders needs to be sometime soon. Because we saw the seeds being planted after Hangman defeated Yuta, and then he went to choke him out with the chain, and he was like, see, no one's coming to save you. They don't care about you. So these are seeds being planted for the inevitable end of the Death Riders. But they have to make it wonderful.
Yeah.
They have to make it wonderful.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to chat about? Because otherwise, yeah, it's time to plug your stuff.
I will be plugging my stuff. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please leave a comment below after the video is done. It helps us out a lot with the algorithm. On your way out, please leave a like on the video. It helps us out a lot. And you can follow me on Twitter at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, and on Blue Sky, if you guys are still doing that, at Maggie-IK. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Pray for me for the next 3 days, because I will be sleeping never.
So you're basically saying over the next 3 days, you're going to be making the
sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
We're back.
Plug your shit, bro.
Yeah, they got some new stuff. I wonder what this is. that's good.
damn it.
Oh god. What's this one? Oh, good god. Oh, this is my favorite.
I'm Seth freaking Rollins. Burn it down, bitch.
All right, guys, we want to say thank you. You can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob and on Threads at Fightful Rob. We will be back next Friday.
Friday, our usual Friday spot. Please mark your calendars.
Yeah, we say that. We say that we'll be there next Friday, but I'm sure something will happen. Yeah. But guys, want to say thank you again for tuning in. We really do appreciate you. Make sure you follow us on X. Follow us here on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. That helps us out a lot. Leave a comment, all that other fun stuff. But we will see you next week for another episode of AEW, of Coexisting. Next week, we will be giving you our predictions for SummerSlam. How about that? Right?
Oh, my SummerSlam God. Yes. Yeah.
So SummerSlam predictions next week. So guys, want to say thank you again, and we will see you next week. Peace out, homies.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.